Well, good morning. It's good to see as many of you here as are here. I wondered how many would actually be here this morning as we approach the 4th of July weekend. I know that a lot of people are traveling and out, and we actually have three vehicles full of ladies that are out on a women's retreat this weekend in the Upper Peninsula, so I knew that'd be a chunk of the congregation. We had a group of young people just returned back from a week down at Milligan College in Tennessee, and we have some good news from that we'll share in just a little bit, but I knew some of those young people would still be hungover from the trip that they were on, but I'm glad to see that you're out here this morning, and appreciate that, and all the shirts. I'd like to join you with your black shirts here this morning, but I didn't get the memo. You know, no one told me we were wearing black here, but you can see the young people went away to some of the young people went away to the retreat here, and I hear you all had a wonderful time and a good Christ-filled experience, so I appreciate that. Well, I want to begin this sermon this morning by trying to relate to you an old Chinese proverb. I probably won't get it exactly right, and someone will straighten me out on it because it's rather famous, but supposedly this man running a one-horse farm and his son experienced a happenstance. Their one horse ran away. And all the neighbors exclaimed, "Oh, what bad luck. I mean, you're a one-horse farm and your stallion ran away." And the farmer supposedly said, "Good luck, bad luck, we'll see." Well, about 3 or 4 days later, the stallion returns home, bringing with it three mares running wild. And all the neighbors now say, "Oh, what good luck. Not only has your horse come home, he's brought three new horses with him." And the farmer says, "Good luck, bad luck, we'll see." Well, later that week, his only son was trying to break one of those mares, and the mare threw him, and the son fell down and broke his leg. And our neighbors say, "Oh, what terrible luck. Your one son left you to run the farm now with his broken leg." And the farmer said, "Good luck, bad luck, we'll see." About a week later, the militia comes marching through the village, conscripting all the able-bodied young men into military service. And of course, the farmer's son was bypassed because he had a broken leg. And the neighbor said, "Oh, what good luck. Your son gets to stay home." And the farmer says, "Good luck, bad luck, we'll see." Well, so the story goes, it actually goes on further than that, but I think you've heard enough. The moral of the story is this, that the end result of any event may not be readily apparent. You have to wait to see what happens. Which brings up an interesting question that I want us to think about here this morning. Why do things happen? Why? Is it a matter of luck? I'm not going to ask how many of you believe in luck. Is it just a matter of happenstance? Things happen. They don't necessarily have any rhyme or reason attached to them. They just happen. Or is there some divine hand reaching down and orchestrating all these events that are happening around us, leading us, directing us, taking us down certain paths to certain ends? That's what I'm hoping that our text that Mark read so well to us this morning will help us look at. Our text is about basically Peter and John and a lame man and a great crowd that gathers after a great miracle has taken place. Our text this morning describes it like this. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." And that verb, "were going up," translated, is an imperfect tense, which means it's trying to convey continuous action. The verb action is not completed. They are in process. As Peter and John are going up, not there yet, but already started on their way, to the temple to pray. And while Peter and John were going up, a man lame from birth was being carried. Again, imperfect tense. Action that has started and is continuing in process, but not completed. And this man has been laid daily at the gate of the temple, that's called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. My question this morning is, what's the chances of this? The verb tenses are clear that both of these parties are in action. They are in process. They are like two ships passing in the night, if you will, that bump into one another. That just as Peter and John were going up into the temple to pray, this lame man was being carried in to the temple to beg for alms. That is, what did not happen is one of these two parties arrived before the other. That did not happen. One of them did not come earlier and set up shop and wait for the other to pass by. No, that's not what the text says. The text says both were arriving at the same time. In fact, simultaneously is how one Greek scholar translates this verse. Simultaneously, as Peter and John are going up to pray, this lame man is being carried in. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, the lame man, he asked to receive alms, because that's why he's there. He was carried there. He was laid there every day to ask alms of those entering the temple. Now, that's not why Peter and John are there. Peter and John seem to be there for prayer, which would make a pretty good time for a lame man down on his luck to lean on a few bleeding hearts that have just been softened by prayer. Churches often get hit up that way as well. This is supposed to soften our hearts, and people who are looking for a handout know that. And so this is a pretty good place. In fact, someone hit me up for $10 downstairs at the foot of the steps on the way up here this morning. He was doing it in a joking manner. And I looked to his daughter and I said, sure, there's my lady. Give him $10. But they know, people know that are looking for a handout, that these spiritual routines are supposed to soften hearts. So this man has a good strategy. This is a good place to be, at the temple gate at the time of prayer. So that's why he's come. That's not why everyone's come. Most people have come to pray. He's come for a handout. And so, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, in process of going into the temple, the lame man, he asks to receive alms. He hits them up now while he can. They'll be gone for prayer in a minute. Can't wait any longer. So he asks Peter and John for money, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, the text says, and they both said, look at us, to the lame man. That is, Peter and John did not do what the priest and the Levite did in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, if you'll remember. When they see the poor man down on his luck, Jesus said they passed by on the other side, remember? They saw the man needing help, but they didn't give him any help. Peter and John do not do that. Peter and John stop, and they directed their gaze at the lame man, and they directed the lame man's gaze back to them. They said to him, look at us. And the lame man, he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And receive something he did, but he did not receive the little bit of pocket change that he was hoping for, did he? Peter said to him, I have no silver and gold. With that, the man's heart probably fell. But Peter and John said, what we have we'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man had probably never heard such a thing in his life. And Peter took the lame man by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. When I read that, my mind thought, give a man a fish and you'll feed him for a day. Raise a lame man back on his feet so that he can immediately walk and leap, and he will go around walking and leaping and praising God all his days. And I'll tell you what else happens that we're looking at here this morning. This draws a crowd. This man drew a crowd. All the people, verse 9 says, saw this man walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate at the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. As I am filled with wonder and amazement as well. My wonder is a little different. Here's what I'm wondering this morning. Maybe you hadn't thought of this. Maybe you'll think this is not even an important thought. But it came to my mind, how much of all this was coincidental? And how much of this was providential? Think of this for a moment. The arrival at the same place at the same time. The man who needed help, and maybe the only men in Jerusalem who could truly help him. The one begging for what the other did not have, and the other giving that which the one never asked for. Coincidental or providential? Was this the luckiest man in the world or what? Now, some people don't believe in luck. And again, I promise you early on, I'm not going to ask you to stake your claim. But some people go as far as to say this lame man was rewarded because of his faith. But this man is not mentioned as having any faith. He never asked for a miracle. He didn't expect a miracle. We don't even know if this man believed in miracles. He may have given up the idea of walking long ago, that he was just going to be a lame man for all his life. He asked for money from everybody, we're told. Just like he did every day, we're told. And he did this with the help of friends or family who would carry this man daily and lay him at the gate called Beautiful to beg for alms. And every day his friends or family would return and carry this man home. And I'm sure that was the plan for today as well. Why should this day be different than any other day? But today was going to be different, wasn't it? And that's my question. Why? Why this day? Why this man? Why did this wonderful thing happen? And why could it not happen to some other man? Why was I so blessed to be born and raised in almost heaven, West Virginia? While my son-in-law was born in Haiti. You answer that. And if you say, well, it must be because, gosh, you have more faith than David, I'm telling you, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, don't get me wrong. I thank God for all the blessings that I've been given. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And so I praise God from whom all my blessings flow. But why me? Why not David? Why was this lame man healed and not one of the other cripples hobbling around Jerusalem who could have also used a good healing? Why was this man just in the right place at the right time? And as I look at it, I've got to tell you, I don't think Scripture tells us. I don't think Scripture answers those questions. What Scripture does seem to tell us is what Peter does with this wonderful opportunity that has come to this man either coincidentally or providentially, I don't know, or by some combination thereof. And what Peter did was make the most of this. Did it happen by coincidence or did it happen by providence? I don't know. But I do know Peter made the most of it. A great crowd gathers. All the people see this man walking and leaping and praising God, and they recognize him as the same fella, lame from birth, who used to sit at the gate called Beautiful daily asking for alms. And these people are filled with wonder and amazement at what's happened here. And while he clung to Peter, the Bible says, and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran to them in the portico under the place called Solomon's portico. And when Peter saw it, when he saw not the miracle, when he saw the great gathering because of the great miracle, then the ex-fisherman in Peter came out. That's what I'm going to call it. Because before Peter was an apostle, he was a what? He's a fisherman. And Peter sees all this great crowd of people schooled up in front of him. And what's a fisherman do when he sees the fish schooled in front of him? And Peter preaches Christ. Because that's what fishermen do. Fishermen don't philosophize and say, I wonder why all these fish have schooled right here. That's what philosophers do. So philosophers put on their soft slippers and pull out their pipes and they wonder and they philosophize and theorize why. Why did this happen? Fishermen don't care why. Fishermen just care about catching what? Fish. It's the only reason fishermen cast their nets. Peter is recorded doing that very thing upon more than one occasion, if you'll remember. But I'm thinking of the occasion after Jesus' resurrection on the Sea of Tiberias. The Bible says, Simon Peter said to the other disciples, I'm going fishing. Because Peter used to be a fisherman before he was an apostle. And the other disciples replied, we'll go with you. And many of them had also been fishermen. They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Fisherman's worst verse in the Bible. Just as day was breaking, the resurrected Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? Don't never say that to a fisherman who's been out all night long fishing. Children, do you have... There's some condescension there. He didn't say men. He said, children, didn't catch anything, did you? No, they answered. And Jesus said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. You'll find some. So what did the fishermen do? They pull out their rulers and their protractors and their iPhones and iPads and put on their slippers and pull out their pipes and begin to theorize and philosophize. Why would the fish be on this side of the boat, but they wouldn't be on that side of the boat? Is that what fishermen do when they're told the fish is on one side of the boat? No. These are fishermen, not philosophers. So what do? They cast their nets to the right side of the boat. And now they're not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish. That's exactly what Peter does in our text this morning. Peter sees this great crowd gathering around him at the temple. And the crowd is filled with wonder and amazement. And they're begging for an explanation to what has happened. And rather than stopping to ask, it's a good question. I wonder why this did happen. Why here? Why now? Why this man? Why not another man? Why me? Why John? Why not one of the other apostles? Rather than asking, I wonder how much of all this is a blessed coincidence and how much of this is actually divine providence, Peter just casts his net out into that great humanity and he preaches Christ. And the upshot being recorded at the beginning of the next chapter says this: many of those who had heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to about how many? 5,000. The last time Peter cast his net into such a crowd like this was on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about how many? 3,000. This time the old fisherman cast his net, and the number of the men who believe come to about 5,000. Thousands, thousands were drawn to Christ by the casting of these two simple nets. Thousands. And that's why I say the real lesson you and I need to take home from all this morning is this: whether coincidental or whether providential, we need to see such happenings as the wonderful opportunities that they are. I know we have some brothers and sisters here who do not believe in coincidence. They're dear brothers and sisters of mine. They believe that God directs every coin toss. They believe that there is no such thing as luck. Heads or tails, God decides, no matter how seemingly inconsequential the toss. I don't go that far. I'm a little like Yogi Berra in that respect. Yogi Berra was the catcher for the New York Yankees who used to spout off some proverbs of his own. And after a batter came to the home plate to bat one time, the batter took his bat and he made the sign of the cross on the plate before he was ready to take his swing. And Yogi got out of his catcher stance and he took his mitt and he wiped the plate off and he said, "Why don't we just let God sit this one out?" Well, can we let God sit one out? Is it okay to let God enjoy the game every once in a while? Or does God have to decide every coin toss? We have some people who believe God decides every coin toss. I don't go that far. I also believe in coincidence. But I also believe in divine providence, especially when the Bible specifically tells us that God's hand is involved in a particular event, like in Acts chapter 8, just a couple of chapters down the road from the scripture that Mark read to us, where the Bible very specifically says, Acts 8:26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. "And Philip arose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asked, do you understand what you're reading? The angel said, the Spirit said, Philip heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah, where God said, I mean, it's pretty hard not to see God's providence at play when things are so clearly said as that. But this morning, Peter and John were just going to the temple to pray. There's nothing said about Peter and John being told to go there. Why then at that moment? Why this particular man? Why not another man? Why maybe the first man Peter and John bumped into? That's why. It just happened. And everyone knows the early bird gets the worm. And first come, first, and you snooze, you lose. Maybe that's why this man, not another man. But the problem with that kind of thinking is this is not early in the day at all. Verse 1 says it's the ninth hour. This is 3 o'clock in the afternoon when this happened. Young people, there's some support for sleeping in until noon. Tell your mom and dad that when you get home. This guy didn't get up early. This guy got there late. Why this man? Providence or coincidence? The Bible doesn't say. The Bible does say, regardless of the reason why this thing happened, Peter and John made the most of it. And thousands are saved because of it. That's the lesson I think we need to take home from this. I'll admit, at times, I really do wonder if God's hand is not involved in some things that happen. Several months ago, one of our elders asked if he could preach a certain Sunday, not realizing that the Sunday he was asking to preach was going to be Father's Day. And and I, not really realizing that it would be Father's Day, I said certainly. And it turned up, I believe, that Michael preached a fabulous Father's Day sermon. But what neither of us knew at the time of his asking, which was months ago, was that my wife's grandmother, who would be turning 100 years old, would be going home with the Lord that very weekend at 100 years and 7 days old. And that Michael preaching here would allow me to preach the gospel there at my wife's grandmother's funeral. It also allowed Lynn and I to attend early church service at our home church, where we got to see so many of our old church friends, and where I got to see my old junior high Sunday school teacher, who did so much for me and helped me at a very difficult time in my life. And he had just returned to West Virginia from wintering in Florida. And we were all there at one time. On top of that, after church, I got to hotfoot it over to my dad's church, where dad plays the piano, and I got to worship with my father on Father's Day, something I haven't done in 45 years. I texted several times with our elders about that, and we all wondered if the Lord didn't have a hand in all that from the get-go 2 or 3 months ago. The one who has every hair on our heads numbered. Now, I don't know that. I have no scripture to support that. I can give you other stories, like what about all the times I've been picking up this fella walking down Dayton Road to the Duke? I don't know if you're picking him up, but I'm picking him up. Has the Lord had a hand in all that? Now, some of you might say, preacher, that's dangerous. I don't think you ought to be doing that. But what's the Lord think? I don't know. Is he orchestrating me leaving my house at a certain time so that while I'm in process of going down the road, this man is walking down the same road? But we're crossing paths all the time. Is the Lord orchestrating that? I don't know. So far, the gentleman and I haven't talked too much about the Lord because we only have about a half a mile or so, and by that time, you know, we're still making small talk. But I'm trying to talk to him about the Lord. I'm trying to make the most of every opportunity that I'm given, whether it comes to me by coincidence or whether it comes to me by divine providence. Make the most of whatever it is that's happening. How about one evening last week? I was driving Lynn down to East Main Street for an ice cream cone. Well, that's obviously divine providence, right? I mean, obviously. But as we're going down the road to get an ice cream cone, I saw a car broken down in a certain driveway, and it looked kind of suspicious to me, really. I would like to tell you that I wanted to stop and see if I could help the broken down car, but one of the side windows of the house in which drive he was broken down in was cranked all the way wide open, and I told Lynn I had to turn around and check that out and make sure this wasn't a neighbor being broken into. And I went up to the house, and I knocked on the door, and I found out everything was all right. And I met a neighbor that I've been meaning to meet for years. I also got to talk to the man and the woman broken down in the driveway as well. And they're looking for a church home. I wonder if they're here this morning. Was that coincidence? Or was that providence? I don't know. I really, sincerely, I don't know. And I don't believe you know. I think it's a guess. But I do know this. I know what Peter would say, and I know what Peter would do. The old ex-fisherman would say, "Fish! There's fish! Where's the net? Cast the net! There's fish on that side of the boat. I need to cast my net wherever the fish are." Amen? You do too. Regardless of how they got there, regardless of how you got there, they're there. You're there. Make the most of the opportunity while everyone's there. The day's coming when everyone won't be there anymore. So regardless whether they got there by coincidence or providence, cast the net. In Acts chapter 9, this same Peter will be traveling around, and Peter finds a bedridden man in Lydda, a little village on the northwest coast of Israel, right on the Mediterranean Sea area, headed that direction. This man's paralyzed. In Acts chapter 9, verse 34, Peter says to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." Immediately, the paralyzed man rose. And the Bible says all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. How did that happen? Peter cast his net again. He made the most of the opportunity that was given him. The next thing we're told is that Peter was sent for by the disciples near Joppa. This is actually on Lydda, Sharon, Joppa. We're on the coast now. We're on the Mediterranean Sea. And they send to him because a dear saint has died and gone home to be with the Lord. And Peter went to the coast and raised her back to life. And the Bible says it became known throughout all Joppa. And I bet it did. And many believed in the Lord. Why? Because that old fisherman was at it again. He's casting his net. He's catching fish. He's making the most of every opportunity afforded him. Now, someone here might say, "Surely you see divine providence in all that." And I do. I personally do. But sometimes it's not so easy to distinguish between divine providence and coincidence. Like when I was writing this very sermon, one of the elders, while I was writing, one of the elders texted me, and he said he really liked last week's sermon, especially a personal illustration that I used, And he said he'd like to see me do more of that in sermons to come. And I thanked him in the text right then. I said, well, thank you. I'm writing the sermon right now. So I stopped and I prayed that the Lord would open my eyes and show me a personal illustration that I could use this Sunday for this sermon about coincidence and providence and making the most of the opportunity given us. I was writing that sermon. This is going to tell you a little about my life. I was writing that sermon outside TJ Maxx down in Heath on their outside employee smoking picnic table. In fact, if you could smell my sermon, you'd probably still be able to smell where my Bible was laying on their smoking table. But I was out there because they had a nice shady spot and a picnic table while Lynn was shopping in Aldi's, and I didn't want to be in there. But I was praying there at the table, and I'm looking out over the parking lot there at that shopping center, and I'm praying that the Lord will open my eyes and let me see some personal illustration that will help me make sense of this coincidence and providence and opportunity, no matter how all this happened, if just by happenstance. And for the life of me, as I looked over that parking lot, I got nothing. I couldn't see nothing. I thought maybe while I'm watching, somebody will vacate a parking space right up front just at the time when another car is pulling in. Coincidental or providential? So I'm looking for it. No cars. No cars coming. No cars going. Thinking, what? Nothing here. And I prayed. And I finally finished what I was doing. Lynn texted me. Lynn texted me and said she was ready to load up, and so I gave up and went over and opened up the car, and I was helping load the groceries up, and Lynn was a bit peeved, quite frankly, that Aldi's didn't have any ice cream. I wasn't none too happy about it either. But what I actually said, because my mind was still in this mode, what I actually said was, imagine that, the middle of summer, and there's a run on ice cream. I wonder if that's coincidental or divinely providential. Lynn didn't have any idea what I was talking about. Now, some of you know I'm a heart patient, and you might be thinking, preacher, that was divine providence. The Lord was helping you stay alive a little longer. Okay, if that's so, I'll buy that. I don't like that, but I'll buy that. If that's so, what am I to think when Aldi's has a sale on ice cream? That the Lord's ready to get rid of me? Coincidence or providence? In my mind, that's not the point. I think we're missing it if we're trying to play God and figure out how things happen. Or why things happen. The point is, what will you and I do with the opportunities given us when they do happen? That's the point. However they come, providence, coincidence, who will make the most of them? Like a good fisherman, and cast every net, every chance we get. Whether the Lord gives us that chance or it was just happenstance. Are we going to let these golden moments pass us by? That's the question. However they came to us. Earlier last week, I asked Linda to post this picture or this sign on our highway sign. You may have seen that when you pulled in the parking lot this morning. But I asked very early in the week for Linda to put that out on our highway sign. And then below this, I asked her to put the words, "You looked coincidental or providential?" All right. And then she put the worship time for this service and the website address. Now, did anyone look as they drove down the highway? I don't know. don't have a clue. I only know that it only matters if they did something about it. Is anyone here this morning because you saw the sign? And I'm not putting you on your spot. Don't raise your hand. Or there's a website address, and I'll look right at the camera. Is there anyone right now who is watching this recording on your laptop or your smartphone because you saw this sign? And if you are, is that coincidental? Or is that providential? Quite frankly, I don't know. And more, quite frankly, I don't care. What I care about is what you do about this. What are you and I going to do today with the opportunity afforded us right now? However it came to us, are we going to be the fishermen we've been called to be? Are we going to look carefully, as Ephesians 5:15 says, look carefully then how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of our time, knowing that the days are evil. The opportunity that comes today, are you going to take advantage of it, however it came? It may never come again. And if you're not a fisherman, but you're one of the fish, we appeal to you, 2 Corinthians 6:1, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For God says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And then God says, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. At this moment, God will listen. Right now, God will save. Now, we can try and sort out how this opportunity came to us, whether by coincidence or providence, at some other time. But now is the time to do something about this and begin to fish, or allow us to be caught in Christ's net. Now is the time for you to choose to begin to learn more about Jesus, to come to believe in Him, become a follower of His, and join us in building His kingdom. Stand with me. Let's pray together. Could we please? Lord God in heaven, there are so many different reasons why so many of us are here. Some of us are just here out of habit. Some of us are here because we don't think of any other place to be. But some of us are here because of a mom or a grandma or a grandpa, a dad, a parent, a child. Maybe somebody's here because they saw a sign. Whether these things came from you, or how, why ever they came. Oh God, show these folks, show all of us this opportunity. Don't let us let it pass. We pray, Lord, that someone will give serious consideration as to whether this is not the moment, this is not the day when they become the fishermen for Christ you've called us all to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people say,